Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How did the election turn out for you? Pretty much the way you wanted it to? Not at all like you wanted it to? I tell you what, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on today. So many things that have taken place in this election cycle that were very, very interesting, especially when it comes to what it may mean for America in the years to come. You know, a lot of people are really beginning to take a look at the future. They're really beginning to look at the fact that, you know, what happens in the voting booths at the polls on any given day can have an impact on our lives for years to come, in some cases, decades to come. And that's part of the reason that we have so many people who claim to be taking the high road morally, who continually back politicians who they know take the low road morally. They look at how important it is to have the courts stacked with people who hold their views and share their ideology and their social worldviews. And they want people who think like them when it comes to voter suppression, when it comes to affirmative action, when it comes to economic justice, etc. They want people who think like they think, who will help push the agendas that they find appealing. And there are so many people who know that if you can get a president in the White House who will push to have conservative or liberal judges on the Supreme Court in particular, not only the Supreme Court, but especially the Supreme Court, since that is the nation's top court, they know that you can influence life in America for decades to come. And of course, we the people know that too. And so many people are so dishonest when they say, we don't want anyone who's going to go to the Supreme Court with a political ideology. They're being so dishonest when they say that. That is job one. That's why they ask questions like, well, what does this person think about Roe v. Wade? What does this person think about affirmative action? What does this person think about health care? And they come up with specific topics that all have to do with political ideology. And they want to be sure that whoever's going to be placed on that court shares their political ideology. And people are deceived and or dishonest when they say they have no interest in the political ideology. That is what they're most interested in. And that's why it's so easy for them when they're comparing, let's just say, one conservative nominee or possible nominee to another conservative potential nominee. They're not just asking one question. Which one of them will be the one who will say, hey, look, I'm just sticking by what the law says, what the Constitution says. I am a strict constitutionalist. That's not what they're asking. They're able to make their decision about who they really prefer to have in there because they listen to what these judges, these potential nominees, have to say about the issues. And as they listen to them talk about the issues, they find out what their political ideology is. And they make their decision based on who they think lines up with their own political ideology the closest. Democrats do that. I think that the Democrats are just less inclined to say they're not interested in political ideology. We the people, just as the president and Congress, are interested in political ideology. We should just be honest about that. And so a lot of people get it. They realize whoever makes up that Congress can help determine the direction that the country's taking in, because they write the bills that go to the president's desk, that go to the president, who either signs or refuses to sign the bills into law. They know that they will be the ones, particularly in the Senate, will be the ones who will be approving or disapproving many of the appointments that the president will make, whether they are of the same party or the opposing party that the president is a member of. They will approve or disapprove his nominations. Well, this is the second time in, what, the last 16, 20 years that the Republicans have had the benefit of being able to really get things roll their way, being in control of the House and the Senate and the White House. And this particular term, things changed a bit. The Democrats took the House. Quite a few women are joining. Well, let's talk about that some more later on in the day. Let's get on into the future. Let's take our look into the future, because as you all know, this is Thursday, and most Thursdays we do take a look into the future. Jean-Luc Ponté, will you help us take that look? And I'm asking him to help us take that look. Because he's bringing us the music today. The futuristic music. The song is entitled Renaissance. And to tell you the truth, this election was a bit of a renaissance. But our focus is going to start out on robots. I'm going to be sharing some information with you, courtesy of BBC, as we look into the future. And I want to ask you, what are your thoughts about the future? When you think future, what are the first two or three types of subjects that come to your mind? In other words, do you think about family issues? Is that one of the first things that comes to your mind when you think about the future? Do you think about technology and where it might be leading? Do you think about the future of religion? When you think about future, and no one says, hey, let's look at the future of, they just say, let's look at the future of, and you fill in the blank. What are some of the first things that come to your mind? Well, I definitely think about robots. That's one of the things that I think about. It's with us. Robots are with us. Robots are with us. And of course, we talk robots. We're talking technology. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at today is the role that robots are going to play in building our cities of the future. Yep, robots, and I do mean that literally, helping to build the cities of the future. Now, when it comes to this whole issue of robots and robots doing what they do, there's no question that the technology is going to be taking a lot of jobs that are held by humans. Now, in today's conversation, you're going to find out why it is truly necessary to an extent that the robots take over some of these building jobs. And I mean truly necessary. Stay with me now. You should know by now, if I say that it's going to be necessary that the robots take on some of these responsibilities, I'm not just shooting from the hip. All right, so I'll share that with you. But we do know that along the way, we do have people who are looking at ways to take jobs from us humans, not because we cannot do the job, not because we will not do the job, but because they just want to displace many humans when it comes to jobs. And of course, in so doing, bring about more and more chaos. And you got to ask yourselves the question, why do so many people want so much chaos? And it's not just the people in leadership positions either. Anyway, robots in our cities of the future. Shinichi Sakamoto is 57 years old. He works for Shimizu, which is one of Japan's biggest construction companies. Being age 57 makes him part of an ever-aging workforce, and part of a workforce that is not only aging, but is dwindling. And the thing is, statistics show that a third of Japanese construction laborers are over 54 years old. One-third of them, ladies and gentlemen. One-third of Japanese construction laborers are over 50 years old, and they are considering retiring soon. And by the way, Mr. Sakamoto is the deputy head of Shimizu's production technology division. And here's the thing. This is what makes it so concerning. You have these people, mid-50s and up, considering retiring. They're not being replaced by younger builders. One-third of the Japanese construction laborers are 54 years and over and up. Only 10%, that's roughly 33%, only 10%, roughly just above 10% of the laborers are under 30. So you see the problem. And that's why I was saying a little earlier that in this case, taking a look at what's going to be happening with regards to the labor industry in Japan, it has become necessary that robots begin to handle some of these responsibilities. There are not enough humans filling the gaps, filling the needs for more construction workers to replace the ones who are thinking about retiring. Let's look at this some more in just a few.